Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. One verse of Scripture. Thank God for these wonderful words of life. It's a privilege not only to know it, hear it, but to send it to those who do not hear, do not know the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Father, we thank you this morning that we are privileged to have the gospel. We're thankful, Lord, that you preserved your word through times of persecution, times when the word was banished, times, Lord, when men paid with their lives to pass on this precious truth. Thank you that we have it this morning, Lord, that we can read it, that we can preach the Word of God from your Word. I ask you to help us, Lord, this morning, anoint us that we'd be able to say what would be a help to this congregation. I pray that you'd give direction to our church and help us to be a light, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Lord, I pray that you'd use us to win souls this year. And may we give you the glory for all the good that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on the danger of no vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It's a tragedy waiting when there is no vision. The consequence is so serious that it ought to command our attention, don't you think? Where there is no vision, people perish. Who could read this and just, you know, have the spiritual mind and just casually pass over this when so much is at stake here? People perish where there is no vision. And this verse sets forth these four scenes. First of all, divine silence where there is no vision. Secondly, divine judgment. People perish. Thirdly, divine revelation. He that keepeth the law. The law being God's divine revelation. Fourthly, divine blessing. Happy is he. That's four things I want you to see in my text. First of all, there's divine silence where there is no vision. Perhaps the only rendering I've ever heard given to this scripture relates to leaders without ambitious goals. So we use it in this sense. The common interpretation focuses on vision as being plans for the future. And plans for the future, though they are important, is not the primary focus here. The word vision in this context has to do with divine communication or revelation. Where there is no vision is a phrase that indicates a divine silence has settled over a society. And the prophetic voice in that society has been muted. And no one is listening to God and nobody is speaking for God. There is no vision. And men carry on without divine direction. They do not carry on without religion, but they carry on with a religion that's defective in dogma and that is perverted in practice because God has gone silent and there is no vision. And society goes on toward spiritual wreck because God is no longer speaking, or at least men are no longer hearing. When men have closed their ears to the voice of God, they make up their religion as they go, and they tolerate no correction from God whenever the voice of God is not heeded. In the days of Samuel's childhood, Israel had slipped into spiritual darkness, and 1 Samuel 3 and 1 says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And that word precious means rare. It was rare in those days. There was no open vision. Divine communication was scarce in those days. And in that time when divine communication was scarce, the moral tone of Israel plunged in this time of spiritual darkness. And the sons of Eli, the high priest, violated the sacrifices of the people of God by taking for themselves what belonged to God. And they polluted the sanctuary of the Lord by practicing fornication with the women who came to worship at the tabernacle. And Eli the high priest tolerated the blasphemous behavior of his sons. He refused to expose them and to expel them from their positions in the tabernacle. God spoke to him through a prophet and rebuked him for honoring his sons above God himself. In other words, Eli protected the honor of his sons. In doing so, brought dishonor to the Lord and to the house of God. And God rebuked him because he honored his sons above God. The situation in Israel is typical when there is no vision. That was what was going on in that day. Later on in the history of Israel, when God's judgment is being defined by Amos the prophet, he includes this chilling outcome. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, listen to this, and shall not find it. Brother, that's a chilling prophecy, that the word of God cannot be found, because these people, when they had the word of God, they ignored it, and now they lost it. And it was a time of no vision, and people wandered from the north to the east, searching for the word of God, and could not find it. In the last days, the Bible tells us, deception will be in demand, and providers of deception will abound. 2 Timothy 4 and 2 tells us, Paul charges Timothy, preach the word. And he prophesies of a coming time when men's religious appetite will turn from the truth unto tall tales. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And what Paul is picturing for us here is a religious society that is hostile to the truth, and a society that carefully controls the content being preached in the pulpit. Yep, that's what we see here. We see a religious society hostile to the truth, and they are carefully controlling the content being preached in the pulpit. So the message that's coming from the pulpit is not one that is sent by God, but it is one that is fashioned by popular demand. Did you know there are mega churches in this country that before they started up, went into the community around them, asked the sinners, "What do you want out of a church?" They said, "This is what we want. We want rock and roll music. We want little sermonettes. We want a dining hall in the church so we can leave the church and go to the dining hall on Sunday mornings. We want a coffee shop in the church. We want to be able to bring our coffee in the worship service." They told them what all they wanted. They said, "All right, we'll make a church like that. Willow Creek is built on what the community said we want a church to be like." They have fashioned and birthed churches of the same stripe all across this nation and in other countries, and thousands of people have flocked there. But I'm telling you, brother, this is not the way God ordered the church. God wants a man that hears from Him, and doesn't matter what the people want to hear. God says, "I want to find a man who will hear my voice and speak my word." We have this kind of society now, have itching ears, turned away their ears from the truth, and turned unto fables. The message is fashioned by popular demand. Brother, as a result of rejecting the truth, our society is drifting into fables. In other words, they're accepting fiction for facts. Do you hear me? I said they're accepting fiction for facts. They're silencing the voice of God by popular vote. Where there is no vision, where there is no divine communication, people perish, brother. This is the divine judgment. People perish when divine communication proof, you know, it's no longer, it ceases to be heard, ceases, people cease to heed the word of God, then society loses direction. And that society begins to drift toward destruction. The reason it begins to drift toward destruction is this. When the Word of God is rejected, we become unable to define right and wrong. We can no longer define right and wrong. So we become a society that we have this, this idea that all truth is relative. That nobody has absolute truth, and nobody can define right and wrong. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs in two different places, Proverbs 16:25, Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." How is it that people get an idea that I'm on the right way when they're on the wrong road that leads to death? I tell you how, by ignoring the Word of God, the revelation of God. When there is no vision, people perish, brother. You can make up your own religion. You can decide which way you're going to go in life if you ignore the Word of God. But the Word of God's got one way for us, just one way for us. And brother, when we read the Bible, we all get on the same road. Hallelujah. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes when there is no vision. When divine communication has ceased, every man makes up his own religion. The motto, modern motto is, "Judge not. Don't judge me And indeed, there is no standard of judgment when God's voice is silenced. We have no standard of judgment. One man's judgment is just as good as another man's when we've rejected divine communication. But when we have the Word of God, then we don't have to be the judge. The Word of God is the judge. The Word of God is the standard. The Word of God is what we measure everything by, is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I tell you what, brother, we ought to value divine communication. We ought to value the Word of God. We ought to value the preaching of the Word of God. And it's valuable to us because when there is no vision, people perish. We can no longer define right and wrong. And not only that, we become unable to foresee evil. There is no spiritual foresight where there is no vision. The Bible tells us in two different places in Proverbs, Proverbs 22 and 3, Proverbs 27 and 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. We lose our ability to foresee evil, to predict outcomes of behavior whenever there is no vision. A prudent man foresees the evil. He hides himself. He makes preparation. But that simple man, no vision, no divine communication, no spiritual truth in his mind and heart, he passes on and is punished. Where there is no vision, we lose our long-range outlook. So we adopt the philosophy of the world. Eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die. So, immediate pleasure becomes the guiding principle of our life. And we forget that Satan makes long-range plans for us and for our families. We forget about the fact that decisions made today have consequences tomorrow. We forget about the fact that Satan is laying traps for our family. And he knows if he can interrupt the gospel in one generation, that he will take whole generations to hell in the future. I'm telling you, brother, are you listening to me this morning? It's valuable that we have the Word of God. It's valuable that we have the divine communication. It's our only protection from destruction. People perish where there is no vision. Oh, God, help us this morning, I'm telling you. Brother and sister, this is valuable to us that God has opened to us the book of God, the Word of life, and given us the privilege to sit in churches like this where we can hear the preaching of the gospel and the warning of the Word of God. You know, every father in this place ought to be able to recognize that my failure to pray earnestly and to study the Bible faithfully will lead future generations in my family to feel no obligation to do either. And that father must understand that his attitude toward the people of God and his attitude toward the house of God will someday be the attitude of his sons and his daughters. And that father needs to understand that how he communicates his values to his children is done so more by his actions than by his axioms. It's done more by his deeds than by his words. We understand from the Word of God the long-range consequences of our actions. We understand it because we have a vision. We have divine communication from God. We understand that there's long-range consequences to sin, brother. What parent thinks long-term of the effect of Hollywood on their home when they conveniently allow the television to do their babysitting for them, training their children? Listen, how many parents understand that television is promoting to their children a philosophy of life that is going to doom their soul if they absorb it and follow it? How many parents understand that? I'm telling you, brother, that's why we got divine revelation. We don't have to follow the ways of the world because we've got a vision. We've got a divine revelation from God. We understand the long-range consequences of our decisions today. You know, we lose our long-range effect when we don't hear from God. We're not listening to God. We're not applying ourselves to the Word of God. We lose this long-range outlook for our family. One holiness preacher I knew allowed his boys to pursue their dream of succeeding in the sports world. All three of them did, to some extent. Two of them played in the pros for a baseball team. They all married out of the faith. All of them rejected the faith of their parents. One of the boys is very active in the Jehovah's Witness organization. He married into it. Another one married into wealth and divorced, and now he is remarried. And the youngest of them died an untimely death. Where there is no vision, you listen to me, brother and sister, you listen to me. Where there is no vision, nobody asks the question, where will this decision lead us? Did you hear me? I said, where there is no vision, nobody asked the question, where will this decision lead us? For where there is no vision, people perish. Thirdly, the divine revelation. He that keepeth the law. Listen, not everybody's backslid. Not everybody has lost the vision. Not everybody has cut off God's voice. He that keepeth the law. This is the only hope for our homes, for our society. Individuals that value divine revelation, the Word of God. For any Christians to succeed in the Christian life, they must be convinced, in the words of St. Augustine, what this Bible says, God says. Hallelujah. What this Bible says, God says. And We take this Bible as the Word of God, literally the Word of God. And this Bible answers for us the most vital questions of life. Which way will get me to heaven? And what does a Christian life look like? Well, how do you know? We'll say, my grandma was one. My mama was one. Suppose it were the wrong kind of one. How do I know what a Christian life looks like? The only way I know what a Christian life looks like is to look in the mirror of the Word of God. I look in this Bible and I find out what a Christian life is supposed to look like. Because it tells me, hallelujah, what a Christian life is supposed to be like. And I'll tell you now, are y'all hearing me? Praise God. Y'all listening to me, ain't you? I got you real quiet. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to hear me real good now. Because you're either going to find your pattern for life in the Word of God, or the world is going to squeeze you into its pattern. One or the other. You're going to either find your pattern for life in the Word of God, or the world is going to squeeze you into its own pattern. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I hope everybody here this morning is here because you want to hear from God. You know, you came for the wrong reason if you didn't want to come and hear from God. And sometimes when you hear from God, God is going to speak directly to your situation. God is going to speak to you and rebuke you and reprove you and correct you and instruct you, because that's the reason He gave us His Word. He said the Word of God is inspired. Every word is inspired by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. I'm telling you, brother, if you are not interested in the Word of God correcting your life, you can forget about hearing from God. Because God is going to speak to your situation, speak into your life. God's going to correct your life, reprove you, rebuke you, and set you straight if you want Him to. But we all came to hear from God. There'll be many people assembled in church this morning leave without hearing anything from God. And for many people, that's exactly what they were hoping for. Other people go to the house of God with a longing, oh, I want to hear from God. Let me hear from God. I want a vision. I want divine communication. Considering the condition of perhaps most churches in this nation, the silence of God on this Sunday morning is understandable. I read an article in Christianity Today. Christine Scheller tells of her rocky experiences in the church. At age 18, her 60-year-old pastor sought intimacy with her. And another pastor split the church, later having an affair with one of the members. And the next pastor resigned after his internet pornography habit was exposed. And in her next church, consecutive youth leaders divorced. And after moving to California, she and her husband began attending a megachurch, where her husband became one of the assistant pastors. And she was shocked at the sexual misconduct and the abuse and the dishonesty and the contention and the gossip. And they later went on to an Anglican Reformed church. 6 months later, the pastor had an affair, had to resign. And listen, after all these experiences, she says, the realization broke in upon her that Christ is within His sin-damaged church and that there is no better church. In other words, all she knew was a church squeezed into the mold of the world. That's all she knew. And she said Christ is in His sin-damaged church and there is no better church. But I got good news for you this morning. There is a better church. Hallelujah. There is a better church. There is a glorious church. Hallelujah. Blood bought by the blood of Jesus. Sanctified by that blood. Cleansed by that blood. Given victory by that blood. Empowered by the Spirit of God. There is a better church, praise God. I'm telling you, brother, we don't have to live that kind of life. Our church don't have to be that kind of church. And God has given to us through the cross of Calvary the victory over that kind of life. We don't have to be squeezed into the mold of the world. We can be a victorious people through the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. There is a group of people who value divine communication. There is a group of people who set aside considerable time every week to attend God's house, meet with God, meet with God's people, hear from God, value the personal time at home with God in prayer and study the Word daily, sanctified in heart, have sanctified their homes, nurture their children in the ways of God and biblical truth, shepherd their children into the arms of Jesus. And there is a better church, brother. They keep the law of God. They obey the Word of God. There is a better church. Hallelujah. Where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keepeth the law, my final point, divine blessing. Happy is he. Oh, yeah. Happy is that man. Joy is the result of divine fellowship and divine communication. That man who values the presence of God, the voice of God, happy is that man who keeps the law of God. When God's absent from our life, absent from our thoughts, we become morally defeated, laden with guilt and shame, dishonest and evasive, hypocritical and hateful. But joy, listen to me, joy is a universal human aspiration. I said it's a universal human aspiration. But very few people ever enjoy it for any extended amount of time. But God tells us that as the people of God, this is our heritage. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going to give you my peace, and I'm going to speak these words to you that your joy might be full. Praise God. We have been given a heritage of joy from Jesus. That man that values the presence of God and the communication of God. That man that keeps the law of God. Happy is that man. It's the heritage of the people of God. There's joy in serving God. Joy in going this way. It gets sweeter every day. My dear Lord is leading the way to realms above. Oh, I'm telling you, the world's missing out. This crowd trying to sell on the fence is missing out. It's whenever you take the plunge, brother, and go all the way with Jesus and let Jesus do in your heart and life whatever he wants to do in your heart and life. Brother, that man that keeps the law of God, as happy as that man, there's joy in serving Jesus. When you're sold out to the Son of God. Oh my. The world. All the tools it uses to try to obtain joy. Generally wind up adding to their misery. You know, they hope another woman, another man. A brand new, new brand of beer. Stronger narcotic. It's going to help them reach that permanent joy. And instead, it just adds to their misery. When they get what they want, they still lack joy. But when you get Jesus, I'm telling you, joy can be experienced. You can have joy in being forgiven. You can rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. You can have joy in having a clear conscience. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, It's been cleared by the blood of Jesus, and we can rejoice in a clear conscience this morning. You can have joy in fellowshipping with God, for we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. Brother, you can have joy this morning in Jesus, permanent joy in Jesus. Praise the Lord. So many people still looking in all the wrong places for the joy of the Lord. Brother, when we get this thing just right, we've heard from God. We value the voice of God. Decisions made and plans laid. When we grieve God, we've ignored His word, it leads to a lot of sorrow. But when you make your decisions and lay your plans in fellowship with God, whether it be your individual plans or whether it be the plans of the house of God, when you make those plans in fellowship with God, hearing from God, it don't lead to sorrow, it leads to joy and to victory when God is in charge of the decisions of your life. Bible tells us, Sister Judy, if you'll come to the piano, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Praise God. And I know, I'm sure there are people right here in this service baffled by decisions you've got to make in life. Sister Lane, I remember your request. Been praying for you. Heard a black man years ago who worked with me. I believe he was a good man. When they come in on Monday morning, I said, how was your services? Wonderful. What did your preacher preach? Preached a wonderful message. Preached on what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do when you don't know what to do? So he took his text from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him. He will direct thy path. I'm telling you, brother, if you'll keep the lines of communication open, let God know His counsel is welcome. His word is our authority. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. You can trust Him, brother and sister. I'm telling you, you can trust Him. He'll lead you the right way. Joy, joy belongs to that man who walks in the revelation of God.